This program contains discussions of an adult nature, including sexual content. If you're easily offended, please switch off your radio now.
Four brains, four mouths, hundreds of opinions. Battle of the Gobs on City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9, this is the voice of Liverpool and this is the Battle of the Gobs. Four of our titans of talk doing battle in the gladiatorial ring of conversation. The next up to choose a topic out of the hat is late night legend Pete Price. He has it in his hands. Pete, what's the verdict?
What you got, Pete?
Come on, son.
Come on, Peter.
Come on.
Cosmetic surgery, messing with nature, or making the world a more beautiful place. And I've just got a simple, definite idea on that.
Who's had cosmetic surgery in this room?
I haven't.
Oh.
And I never would.
No, not at all.
Do you know?
No. No. I would, though. No. I would.
You would?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I would.
I love
if it could suffer the pain, I would.
If I could suffer the pain. I love growing old the way I look. I look after myself by going to a gym, I eat healthily, and
do
I'm
you?
Sensible.
Yes. You look very good for your age. I'm not just saying that.
How old are you?
62.
Very good.
62. You do look good for your age.
And I wouldn't. And every line that on my face has got a story.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I wouldn't take them off. I love it. I love
being where
I am. Do those
lines start appearing when City Talk starts?
Peter, when did you discover that? When did you decide you are happy with
I'll tell you
who
exactly.
you are, what you're about,
once
how you
again,
look.
Once again, Liberace. Right. Because he had all the money in the world and his last plastic surgery, he was... The smile was on his face permanently. It was dreadful. And they all think they look great because they become obsessed and they do more and more of it. So I know I don't like it.
Is it like,
these are laughter lines.
Joan Rivers, she's the same, isn't she?
Well, she's unbelievable.
How old is Joan Rivers?
Gotta be.
She's in the 70s.
But the worst example is Michael Jackson, of course, isn't it? It's the saddest story of all. Yeah. But I mean, Phyllis Diller, who was a very famous woman, she's 91.
She's still alive.
Wow. She's had more plastic surgery than Joan Rivers. You want to see her face now?
What is it like?
Oh, it's dreadful. They're all dreadful when they do it. The
but
best one I've seen, and then I won't interrupt you again, Sharon Osbourne. But is it going to age very quickly? Oh. But she looks, and I've been up close.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable surgery, but will it age quickly?
Yeah. But you mentioned there Michael Jackson. And what's interesting about plastic surgery and cosmetic surgery is that if you go back before the time when we would all accept he looks hideous, and you go back to like 10 years before that, and you look at pictures of him, you actually go, do you know what? You were actually a very handsome man.
Oh, absolutely.
Very, very handsome.
Oh,
Why? What took you down that road to change all of that?
Because he didn't like what he saw in the mirror, to use one of his songs, but he actually didn't like it.
He didn't want to be black.
That person I told you about, with used prostitute, was the most beautiful boy, but needed a new nose. There was nothing wrong with his nose, but no one could convince him what he looked in the mirror he did not like.
So where does that come
from? Listen, I think
that
there are some people who are not happy with how they look, and I think for those people who are not happy with that, they can go and see all the counsellors in the world, and they can have all of the therapy. You know, if they're not happy with the way they look, let them change it. Who are we to judge? It doesn't bother me.
I agree with you, Duncan.
As long as we're not paying for it.
It's all about
self-esteem, isn't it,
Duncan?
You know, I mean, I've got some big scars on my body and another bottle of wine I might show you. But, you know, I would quite happily, if I got to a point, I mean, they're on my legs, it doesn't really bother me. But, I mean, they're quite unsightly. I might have some surgery to hide those.
Coffee for bugs.
You know.
Hey, but your wife still loves you, doesn't she?
Yeah, most of the time,
No, all of the time.
So,
all of the time.
You know,
of course
you
do. It's getting
vanity.
Away from those things of... Yeah,
but
vanity, that's the word.
If people are not happy with the way they look, you know, and God help them, because, you know, one of the greatest gifts in life is acceptance, isn't it? Acceptance of other people.
Don't you love someone for who they
are?
Of
who you are.
Not you want them
to be.
And
if you're not happy, then for God's sake, you know, if it makes you happy, go and get your nose done. Go and get your cheekbones done. That's fine. If you can afford to do it, good luck to you.
It's all about self-esteem, and one of the greatest actors in the last 40 years in the history of Hollywood was Robert Redford, and he grew old very, very quickly. His neck, terrible neck. And the quote from his
Why'd you say a terrible neck? What does that mean? You're putting a value judgment on
that. His neck terrible?
That is a man who's turned... How old is he now? How old is he now?
He's about 77.
Explain how his neck was terrible.
So what is wrong with
because
having...
Because he aged very quick. He aged very, very quickly. He aged very quickly before his time. And the quote he gave was this: when I wake up in the morning, I want to see myself in the mirror. And that's why I had no plastic surgery.
There's another one on the same.
Well, absolutely.
They aged very quickly because they lived in California, too much sun. You know, he was 60, 50, 20 years before his time.
In yourself, in your soul,
exactly.
In who you are.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's all about, well, I've got to look good, I've got to do this, whatever, that's rubbish. You know, Don't go down that road, because you're actually getting sucked in by the people who want to make money out of you.
Yeah. As we speak now, Pete Burns, there's a huge court case now because of his lips. He's got major, major problems. Yeah. And that's what bothers me, Dean, with all the surgery that's around. It's the after effects.
It's not reversible.
Precisely, it's not reversible.
Yeah, but you go into it with your eyes wide open, don't you?
Well, not all the case.
Do you know that Ozzy Osbourne has had a complete facelift, but you've not seen it yet because his hair's still in place, and it looks amazing.
Really?
Well, have you seen it?
I've seen it.
You've had an exclusive.
But nobody else has seen it because he's.
Why would you do it, though?
She made him have a dog.
But Pisa, why would you do it? Why would you go through it? I can't.
Sharon would say she was an ugly duckling. Changing your face
makes you then happy. Now you're saying there about Sharon.
She was an ugly duckling, and she needed to lose all that weight
and
have the gastric band.
She was.
But then it comes down to what I said. It's all about the greatest gift you can have
attractive
as a human being is acceptance of who you
are. You just said there, now she's an attractive woman. What's attractive?
I take that
what is attractive?
She's attractive in my eyes.
But she's happy. She's happy with it.
Yeah.
Okay? If she's not happy with how she looked, and if it means she's got the money and the means to go under the knife, which clearly she has done several times from what I believe, and she's now happy when she looks in the mirror, good luck to her.
Is she then?
But, well, she will be until she decides there's something else she's not happy
exactly
with, and she has to have it
done. We go back to the Michael Jackson
which
syndrome.
Which is the Michael Jackson,
greatest gift you
where
can have.
Where does it end? Where do you say, that's it, I've reached my perfection, I want you the way I want to look. But you never know,
there's no absolute
And why won't Michael Jackson admit that he's done what he's done? Because he still won't admit
because
it
he has no self-esteem.
But does he think we're stupid, every single person sees there and after?
You never know what he's actually looking at.
All right, if you could have one thing done.
I knew you were going to ask this.
When it came to cosmic surgery, what would you have done? Would you have anything done?
Your nose,
what about you?
I'd like to be lengthened.
What, down low?
No.
Are you really
sure?
How dare you?
Okay.
See, you're back to that woman with the curtains down again. I would like an extra three inches.
There's more than one, though, that gets touched. What about you?
An extra 3 inches worth. Height.
Terrible, height, man.
Height.
That was awful. Yeah. But you know the awful thing is, by the way, I'm 62. I was 5'7". I'm now 5'6½". You shrink when you get older.
Yeah, you
which is really quite scary. And there's a golfer that's lost 3 inches off his...
Does everything shrink in proportion as well?
Yeah. What about you, Dean?
I'd like to think, and to be honest enough to say, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't lie. What would you have done?
No. If you had, it was a freebie and no pain.
What would you have done?
Freebie,
they
no pain.
They found you up with Dina. What would you have done?
In the cafe.
In the cafe.
With a kappa. Gino.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I think I'd have my man boobs reduced.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
Don't you like touching yourself?
I actually quite like them, but I want to talk to you about that after the show.
I'm going to keep them for you.
That's one for the podcast as well,
Duncan
I think.
Duncan Barnes, what cup size are we?
34, double.
Well, we know somebody who's just had his man boobs taken off, and I won't mention the name, and it went wrong. Imagine. The operation went dreadfully, dreadfully wrong.
Who?
I won't mention it on air because they might want it to know. But dreadfully wrong. And, of course, a lot of plastic surgery does go wrong.
Yeah,
we don't hear about it.
If your eyes wide open.
The thing about man boobs is you can't get away from man boobs.
Yeah, but you can exercise them off, Duncan.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
Because there's so much estrogen in our drinking water that we are subject to. Yeah. We are growing breasts.
Don't be
boobist.
Men
are growing breasts because that has been in our system for 40-odd, 45,
or just squeeze an orange
years.
And don't drink water. Simple.
Don't drink water is the official advice to the end of that debate, then, the cosmetic surgery debate. Let's move on. City Talk 105.9, by the way. This is the Battle of the Gobs. Four of our major presenters, Dean Sullivan, Duncan Barks, Pete Price, and Paul Jacobs. Read out the next debate.
Okay, here we go.
It's
just simply entitled Theatre versus Cinema.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that's interesting.
Is it one?
I don't think there is any distinction. I wouldn't go one way or the other.
To perform or watch?
To watch, I think there's room for both. I think there's some amazing theatre and some amazing cinema.
No.
I'm a movie freak.
If it moves you,
I go
you,
all
does
the
it?
Time. Yeah.
If
I
it
go
moves
to
you,
be
it, does it?
Entertained. I go to unwind, to get lost in it. And I go, by the way, 12 at night when nobody is there because I can't stand these eaters
do you
with
like,
their burgers
though,
and all
Peter,
this
do you
rubbish.
Like going to the cinema?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, it's an experience.
Not a video. See, I don't really think I do.
Why?
Because of the very thing of what you just said there, yeah. Peter, about, you know...
The food.
People who are... I mean, I've got a big thing on my show when I go to the theatre a lot and talk about it. Yeah. What really annoys... And I love the theatre. That's, you know, that's my career. That's where I'm from or whatever. But I actually hate the people that I'm there with.
Why?
Because they're just ignorant gits, mostly.
Tell us.
They'll cough through a performance. I mentioned this on my show last week or whatever. I was seeing the most wonderful, wonderful performance of a guy who was playing Bill Shankly. Fantastic. You were there, Paul. Mm. Right? And we knew before we got in there that each half of the show was 45 minutes, like a football match, 45 minutes. Mm. And because I looked at my watch, at 43 minutes into the first half, so you're 2 minutes away from the interval, this woman got up from, you know, the front of the theatre and walked up the side aisle and was trying to find her way to the loo. Okay, nothing wrong with that. But made no attempt whatsoever to muffle the sound of her big clod-hopping heels on
the
floor.
She was a baby elephant, yeah.
And I think that's rude.
Get out of here. This is exactly the problem. Well, you do not get, and theatre, sadly, is not getting... I love theatre. I think theatre is great. I think it knocks cinema into a cocked hat, and I'll tell you why shortly. But the problem with theatre is the pretentiousness. Of, just like the remark that you've just made, oh, I went to do something terrible, some horrible person in high heels, clip-clopping around. You know, it's that kind of attitude that turns people off.
Do you not think that she should
respect
the manners, the civility?
She might have been incontinent.
Let's take it to a different level,
no,
then.
You're sitting
in a beautiful theatre.
Yeah.
You're listening to a wonderful piece, and the woman behind decides to open crinkly sweets in crinkly paper.
I'm with you on that.
And I got up and snatched them off and was thrown out of the theatre.
More power
because
to your
arm. It's disgraceful.
What I don't understand is cinema or theatre. Why can't people sit through a couple of hours without troughing?
Yep.
How hard is it? Eat before you go out.
Exactly.
But what about, guys, we're moving away from the subject, what about the pure art of cinema versus theatre?
What is the pure art of cinema, Paul?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I mean, there's... I've forgotten the actual
that
film.
That whole thing. Do you actually want to sit in a darkened, hall, auditorium with a load of strangers who are actually opening their bags of crisps and talking?
When you're young,
there are people having a full-blown conversation as if they're sat in their living room.
You're exaggerating.
No, that's not exaggerating, Paul.
Absolute rubbish.
Paul, that happens every time I go to
the
cinema.
It's one of the most exciting experiences as a teenager to do at the back of a cinema.
I'm not denying that.
It's a life lesson. It's marvellous.
I think it'd be lovely to go back to the old cinema, Saturday morning rush,
with the
four
torch.
Different... Yeah, the torch. Yeah. Quiet down there.
Which they
the
did.
Four films, and then cheering the main one, and then getting your Mac on, fasten the top on...
Your Mac?
...and riding
your
home.
Did you used to stay in the cinema and watch it the second time round?
Did you? You ever get away with it? Yeah, I've been thrown out a few times.
Thieving kids.
That's
terrible. You'll agree that Blood Brothers, come out of Blood Brothers. What a feeling.
Yeah, but hang on. But now you've hit on something really annoys me. And I've seen every leading lady in Blood Brothers. Every single one. But I get so angry when they laugh. When the gun goes off and every performance they laugh.
It's an involuntary thing.
Cool. I know it is.
The great thing about Blood Brothers is from the moment you walk in, when the curtain goes up at the top of Act One, you know how it's going to end.
Yes.
You know, you see it.
But it still spoils it for me when they're... But I'll tell you, the most amazing thing about cinema is that they can do so much more than theatre.
Yeah, but it's not real, is it?
Well, theatre's
not
real.
No, you can't be. You know, there is something a lot... I'm a big fan of theatre. You know, I'm married to a woman who used to be an actress, and, you know, then she went into work as a press officer for a couple of theatres. So I used to have a major mental block with theatre. I used to get dragged along to all of these blooming press nights thinking, Jesus, not another one. I used to hate it. And I got slowly converted. And I'll tell you what, theatre, when it's good, the soul, the passion of a performer, one man delivering, and you know about this, and you all know about this being on stage as well, but, you know, one person who is literally 15, 16 feet away from you, playing a part, delivering something, talking from the heart. It's one take. There were no retakes.
Oh, you'll never
theater.
Go back there again.
It is amazing to watch. And I've cried watching live theatre.
All right.
I don't get it with cinema, you know, because I'm looking at something and I think you could have shot that 50, 60, 70
times.
Have you
not cried during the
cinema? It's clever. It's great. You've got special effects, but it's not
well,
like, real.
Have you never cried in the cinema? Have you never cried in the cinema? I'll give you one amazing...
Yeah. I cried in Schindler's List, but that was about the only time.
Excuse me.
Pete, have you
Schindler's List. I wrote it down. Everybody walked out of that cinema and never spoke.
Yeah.
People just didn't speak. I went out with four people and we didn't speak for an hour.
Yeah.
We were just...
Well, you were emotionally, you were just hit by...
I was drained.
There's loads more films.
Have you never had that experience at the theatre?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Of course I have. I love theatre. I saw Barbara Streisand when I was 18 years old in Funny Girl, her last performance at the Prince of Wales. I paid 18 guineas in London and it was the most amazing experience of my life. I saw Lauren Bacall in Applause. I saw Anthony Newley. I was a theatre freak years ago and now I do late night radio. I can't see it. But I... Well, no, because every time I go to a show, I have to run and miss the last half hour.
Yeah. I'll make you a deal because I feel you're suffering a bit here. One day we'll swap,
right?
So you can go to the theatre one evening.
That's extremely good. Nice.
Duncan, I could give you five more films.
I'm sure you could,
and you cry at each.
But I'm just answering the question.
Sound of Music and South Pacific. You could never do that on stage.
Sound of Music. I went to a hybrid cinema, including theatre. I went to sing along a Sound of Music once.
Fabulous.
3D cinema. Fantastic.
I went as a girl in a white dress with a blue satin sash.
Let's not go there. Yeah. Yeah, you look lovely.
We can see you in that. Yeah. He's actually sat
It's great. The shoulder big screen. Like someone compares you.
But you look at South Pacific, which I must have watched 50, 60 times. And I saw the stage show. How could you put that on stage with those incredible views, those incredible technical shots where the scenery and...
Yeah, but I think that's the difference between musicals maybe and drama.
No. What about Brokeback Mountain? Amazing scenery.
Is that not a fair comment?
Made the film. Absolutely made
the
film.
Well, I've never seen it. I'm not
you need to see it.
Well, I'm not interested.
Why? It's
why
a fantastic production.
Because I'd rather go to the theatre and
You'd
see something.
You'd cry if you watched that film.
Al Pacino did a movie of Macbeth. And it wasn't a movie of Macbeth. It was the making of Macbeth. Now, we would never have witnessed that if we hadn't seen a cinema. We hadn't seen it on cellulite.
Cellulite.
On the screen. Thank you very much. We'd never have seen that. And it was an incredible insight to the making of that. We would never have seen that.
I just believe, I'm the only person so far who's actually bothered to answer the question. And I believe theatre is a lot more powerful than cinema.
So theatre moves you more than cinema?
It's more powerful. Theatre trumps cinema time and time again.
It was Shylock. I've been putting it in place.
But why?
Shylock.
I think a really good show in the cinema is just as good as a really good show in the theatre.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got Duncan Buck saying theatre wins.
You've got to pick and choose.
Paul Jacob saying kind of bit of both.
Me both.
Sitting on the fence.
Both and Pete
Both for me.
Well, I'll come down on the side of theatre, but I'm not dismissing cinema by any means.
I'm not dismissing it.
I love going to the cinema. I love movies. You know, this. The whole thing about it is, it's all about the acting, isn't it? It's all about, you know, what are they conveying in the story they're trying to tell.
And it was Shylock.
Hard to choose between. And it's hard to choose between these fantastic City Talk 105.9 presenters who are all doing a fantastic job. And we'll
I think
do
he's
so,
taking the mic, isn't he?
And we'll do so for another 20 minutes or so, shortly after this. You're listening to City Talk 105.9.
Can we go to the loo?
Battle of the Gobs on City Talk 105.9.